All right, welcome to
Old Man on the Back Porch. Old Man on the Back Porch, and that old man is me.
I guess that's me. I guess I'm the old man on the back porch. I don't know, but Mike and Dolph, Louie Rebell here for the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Louie, I still don't have my NTWAB pin yet.
There are emails in. Apparently, you gave them the Horse Racing Happy Hour email as your email.
I did, and I can't remember how to log into it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have many emails for you.
Good. Thank you.
Well, there you go. I got that beautiful pin. It comes with a thing that says, "Hey, you can just get into whatever you want." So
whatever you want.
What they clearly understand at the end of NTWAB is that all of us are just degens doing things like podcasting. Zach, how are you, producer Zach?
Mike, do you need a personal assistant? Because those emails come to my phone.
Do they? Yeah. I do need the executive at Google to be my personal assistant. That would be helpful. I'm happy to be back. It's January. I've had my hibernation, and it's
Back a week early. Let's be real.
I am back a week early. I actually popped in and did an Eclipse Award show. I mean, I did some stuff. I popped in every once in a while. And, That's it.
Mike admitted there's horse racing between December 1st and February 1st. So there you go.
Not really. I was trying to think about the last time horse race.
You and Blake and Baker would get along just fine.
Before we get going too far, I gotta give just a rest in peace shout out. We lost a good one today. Somebody who's important to my love of horse racing from the cigar side, J. Paul Tucker, passed away today. For people who don't know from Louisville, the people from Louisville know who J. Paul Tucker is, because sure. J. Paul Tucker, Oxmoor Smoke Shop. It was my guy. That was my guy. So, like, when I was a kid, Paul had back, that's, you could actually smoke in the actual mall, like just walking the around mall. Yeah. And so like he had like a little one of those little like kiosk kind of things almost right across the street from the movie theater, which there's no movie theater in there now, but he would sell baseball cards. So like he was doing baseball cards and tobacco, and I just remember going to get baseball cards and smelling that tobacco. And then when I turned 18, I started working with him, and I worked there for about 5 years, and had some good times, met some good people. And back then, again, still, like, they would let us still smoke, at least in the store, even though you couldn't smoke in the mall. So you actually, like, you were like a bartender almost. Like, you'd help someone pick out a cigar, and then they would just kind of have a cigar, play some chess, play some backgammon, and hang out. But we were a little family, and Paul was really important to me. And so just want to, rest in peace, Paul Tucker. You're a good man, and got a bad gig because he couldn't hear out of one ear, so people thought he was being rude, but he's a good dude.
Yeah, I remember that at the end. Yeah, well, cheers. For sure.
What are you drinking there?
Man, all of us have the bottom shelf thing that they love. And I'm drinking some
Listen, engineer. Don't you talk about my wife that way.
And it's, look, I'm convinced there's nothing bad that comes out of Buffalo Trace. There just isn't. And Ancient Age is one of those things, 90 proof. It's like a 42-month whiskey, something like that. And so when I'm going for, look, I was walking around today, walking into here, I was like, what am I? I'm going cheap. We're doing that, but we're going to go delicious. And that's what Ancient Age is.
Yeah.
You are drinking something, what, five times as expensive as I am?
Rock Hill Farms, which is still the same distillery. And I'm trying to think of the last time I actually saw it on the shelf. It's been a long time. So it's got one of the coolest bottles. Just a really
pretty bottle. It does. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Rock Hill Farms. We're rocking, and so we're back. We're talking horse racing. We're getting ready for Triple Crown season, and
we're in the middle of it, man. So Busonda last week, 20 points for the Oaks. Of course, Silver Bullet Day at Fairgrounds Nola this weekend, 10 points for the Oaks. But we get the 20-point race in the LeCompte, and so we're in it now. This is it. No more Mike on vacation. No more Mike traveling to New Hampshire to tell people how to live. This is more important than whatever that is. Do this. Okay, sure. Interest rates are super high. Interest rates are super high, so don't listen to Mike.
Interest rates are coming down, actually. So,
Busonda last week. Occult wins this Busonda. If you listened to this show, Dan Issel was like, Occult's going to run away with this thing. Zach, what did it look like?
and won for 3/4 of a mile. It's Sweetest Princess for a final quarter mile. Occult is ranging up on the outside, and Occult has now taken the lead. Occult now kicks for home. Sweetest Princess is back to second. Gambling Girl in the center of the racetrack with Affirmative Lady. A final furlong left to go. Occult and Dylan Davis trying to put it away. Gambling Girl, the only one with a shot now, is coming after her. Occult approaches the 16th pole, is still up by 3, is drifting out of touch, but Occult, no doubt, will be your winner of the Busanda and wins it nicely. Occult gets the victory over Gambling Girl tight.
So, you know, we talk about these races, Mike, and one of the things to remember is in New York, especially the Philly races are more predictive for Oaks success than the Colt races are for the boys on the Derby side, right?
Which, because in the Colt side, they're not predictive at all.
No, they're predictive just in a negative way.
Well, yeah, they're predictive of not going to win.
Futsaichi Pegasus is really the last major horse to come out of the New York circuit and win the Derby 2000. But no, I mean, Occult seems to hits all the right buttons. Obviously, we're going one turn in this one, but I mean, or no, excuse me, that was two turns. What am I talking about? Already gone two turns, has done the damn thing. That's the interesting thing. I was just talking about it. We just did a Maryland show, so if you haven't listened to the Maryland show, go back and listen to that. Maryland has their Preakness Road, starts this weekend. Everything 6 or 7 furlongs for the three-year-olds who just turned 3. New York doesn't care about that. They're like, oh, you're 2? Maryland A, 2 turns. Let's go. And that's what they're doing. So, especially on the Philly side, by the way. And then they're like, oh, the Acorn, 1 turn mile. I mean, that's how they roll. It's really, really interesting. And so, but no, Occult was super impressive. Dan was totally on this one. He had a shirt on for that episode, unfortunately. But the, I thought she was really impressive. And if you can run well in that deep aqueduct track, you can probably run well anywhere. And it's still weird to hear Chris Griffin there instead of John Imbriale. But Chris doing a good job.
I'm actually, you know, somewhat impressed. Like he didn't get kind of punny with the Occult kind of thing. I don't know what
he could have said.
He could have gotten punny, but maybe he was scared of like having a spell cast down on him or unlocking the gate to hell or something like that. Or
you know, it's a dark day to hear. It's a dark day here as a cult.
Yes.
Busanda. Yeah, right.
Whatever.
I also appreciate him saying Busanda, because you can only be from New York and be like, hey, what you doing this Saturday? Oh, yo, going to the Busanda. Oh.
Oh, hey.
Oh, oh
hey.
Whoa. Hey, Ozone Park. Hey.
So I was over at the Busanda and whoa.
Aqueduct, yeah. Oh,
hey.
Hey.
All right. What you doing? All right. So what's your love for a Cole? I mean, are we saying that Oaks contender, pretender, or just one of those horses that's gonna be there and you're gonna be kind of in the middle of the
pack? No, she's top 10 right now for sure.
Well, yeah, top 10 puts you in the field. So, all right, but
there's only 14. Look, we're not talking about the Derby, which has 7,000 horses in it. We're talking about the Oaks, which is a real race that only has 14 horses in it. And
but would you put her ahead of Hoosier Philly or ahead of Wonder
Woman? No.
Okay.
You know what? Now that you're put, not a great field, but she's top 5. She loves the two turns, and she looked super fresh at the end there. Mile and an eighth. That's what we're doing in the Oaks, right? I no reason to think she can't do it again in a couple months.
That's right. You know, and typically we don't see like outstanding fields this early in the point system, but
frankly, a lot of those New York horses have gone south to Gulfstream, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But she did what she needed to do, and she was very clearly the best of that day. And again, that surface, we've seen like Malathat came through New York. I mean, we've seen horses translate very well on the Oaks Trail through that route. Malathat ends up at Keeneland, wins her race. I think that there's a possibility you see her do the same thing.
What's the, I was thinking about this, like me coming back, and we've had prep races. We go all the way back to the fall, obviously, but what's the like one prep race in January, or even if you had to go to February, that's like, all right, man, like it's getting real.
LeCompte, it's this weekend.
It's this weekend. It's not the Sham.
Yeah, to me. It's not the what?
It's not the Sham.
That's next week, right?
The Sham was a couple weeks ago.
But that's one turn. So I think LeCompte for me starts the real, what we're doing.
It's getting real.
That's when you get the Brad Cox horses. That's when you get, you know.
Well, it starts at 20 points, right? I mean.
It does. And it's two turns and all those things. And I think that the Louisiana Derby is a reasonable path to the Kentucky Derby as well. Obviously, Santa Anita is as well, without question. I mean, the Santa Anita Derby, one of the great predictors of winners in the Kentucky Derby recently. And so, it isn't that. I just, the Sham, they're doing the right thing as far as distance. But to me, because of the situation this year, Baffert running 1, 2, and 3 in the Sham is not predictive of success in the Derby.
Baffert might have like 18 Derby horses this year too.
Or zero.
Well, I mean, he's going to actually, he will have zero. He won't have anybody actually because he has to, they'll have to ship out. But
it's actually a shame this year that he can't run because he's I got think one of his if he spread out his fields. Maybe ever his deepest three-year-old barn, which is ironic, of course. But if he were able to spread his runners out, I think he would have a starter in three starters in the Santa Anita Derby, at least two in Arkansas, probably one in Louisiana, and then he would probably ship one to the Florida Derby as well.
Yeah,
I think he'd be 6-7 deep in those 100-point preps. Maybe one to the Lexington, honestly.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you'll see some of that this year. Depending on who he sends them to, but for sure, I think that you'll see those guys get spread out because, I mean, obviously they can't just all run at San Diego and qualify. So you need to spread them out a little bit.
All right. So this is what we got going on today. We're going to have a guest potentially here in a little bit. We'll see. I'm not going to announce it because, I mean,
if you listen to this show, you know who the potential
she's
is.
Been known not to show freaking kids and all the whatever else. And
she blamed renovation today.
I don't even want to know. then we're going to get down to it and go down to NOLA and just start, you know, looking at some of those races. And we talked about these fields with these 20-point stakes and this being LeCompte weekend. The LeCompte, this thing is solid. I mean, it's packed. I mean, you got a lot of horses in single-digit odds.
When you have Echo again at 6-1.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Springboard Mile, coming out of the Iroquois, coming out of, you know, a very impressive, I mean, that horse broke its mane by over 6 lengths at Saratoga in August. We're talking about a serious race. That's what this is. And with Asmussen, especially at Fairgrounds, you know, other places, I mean, that's what points to this being a very serious race. And so, yeah, no, it's as good as I can remember in recent history. Cool. I mean, the fact that Paulo Lobo has two starters here and both of them are interesting. I mean, Bromley coming out of the Mastery group out of that Candy Ride, $7,500 breeding, sold the horse at Keeneland in 2020 as a yearling for $450,000. Imagine breeding a horse for $7,500 and selling it for $450,000.
Pretty good. That's not, by the way, that's not normal people. I just don't want you to, like, you know, say, oh,
horses. Some horses, put 10K in a horse and make 500K.
You're going to make all kinds of cash here. Right.
But I mean, kids of Tappet, kids of Boltoro, kids of, you know, Heart Spuns in this one. Candy Ride, like I mentioned, Mastery. Gunrunner's got one in here. There's a Gunrunner kid at 8-1 in this race with Corey Lannery. Corey Lannery at Fairgrounds. I mean, that's wild. So, no, it's a very, very good version of this race.
Do you think that Asmussen ever wins a Kentucky Derby?
Yes, I do.
We'll see.
Yeah, because I think he's got like 12 to 15 more times that he can do it. Yes.
He definitely does. He's got some. He's not old by any means. But we'll see. I mean, Pat Day only got.
It's hard to do. I get it.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, and again, I just don't know if it's his wheelhouse. And he's had some pretty good ones that weren't able to do it.
Yeah. His name is Gunrunner. Yeah, you're right.
Curlin. Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, that's right.
Yeah. But he did win the Oaks. So, with Rachel. All right.
Did okay with her.
He did like pretty good. It's so, probably not bad.
We did the takeout rates at Laurel before we, you know, in the 7 o'clock show, the 8 o'clock show now. I wanted to talk about Fairgrounds and what the best bets are there. The pick threes, the pick fours, and the trifectas and the supers are all 25% takeouts. Tough takeout rates. They got that pick five takeout lowered to 15%, so much more playable. What I would suggest, the exactas and doubles are 20.5%, and then the win play show bets there are 17%. Just go win play show is really my suggestion at Fairgrounds. Go pick those horses out that you like, and just do that win play show because I do think in New Orleans that's your best option.
And you should probably get really good about picking out the ones you don't like and just eliminate those and then get it down.
Don't bet horses you don't like is Mike's advice. And I would.
I'm going to go with that. That's my gambling advice to start the season. Is don't bet the horses you don't like. So the also just want to give a shout out to our boys at Green Sheet. You know, we're going to get into some handicapping here, and our boys at Green Sheet just, you know, doing the thing and giving out some great tips and, you know, have that handicapping aid handily. You can go to greensheetracing.com, You download your card. We've had some awesome conversations with those guys, and just, you know, really grateful for having them back on. And again, it's not just a partnership. It's a true partnership, I guess I should say. So
yeah,
appreciate it.
Hanging out with them through June. That's right.
What, yeah, Louis, what is the sequence that you will have in the green sheet this weekend?
I actually put together the late pick three because I think that it's skinny enough that you can make a fair amount of money.
Even with the takeout rates?
Even with the takeout, yep.
Okay.
We're going to overcome that 5%. That's right.
All right. Well, did you miss me?
Okay, so you can probably ask producer Zach. I really like how I sound.
Yeah, you like to talk.
I do, for sure. And so,
and you like to talk over people.
What? No, it was fun. I enjoy the year-end shows.
Yeah.
I obviously prefer this format because you get to carry the burden of hosting the show. But no, it's the winter shows are their own thing, and I think we did a good job. Nice 13 shows in the winter this year. So.
As I said in my email,
Mike, I don't think
the guests we invited were better than you. Sorry.
I had Ron Flatter on for a show, and it went 1 hour and 25 minutes, and he talked for 1 hour and 24 minutes and 10 seconds. So, that was my life in the winter.
So I says to myself, Colm. That's a Dairy Girls reference. If you have not seen Dairy Girls, just go check it out. It's really good. I wonder if Racing Rachel has seen Dairy Girls. Racing Rachel.
Whoa!
Oh, cut it off. I have not seen Dairy Girls.
That is it's a hilarious, hilarious Netflix show if you ever want to check it out.
It sounds like right up my alley. It sounds like a farm girl thing. Like my shirt.
I've got a couple of those.
The producer on our radio show, she wears that shirt like once every 10 days because she's like, soft. I'm like, yeah, it's a nice t-shirt. What am I giving you crap here? No, that's from Horseshoe, Indianapolis. What are we doing? Damn right. Little
get your,
HSI.
Get your
let's
crap
go.
Together, bro.
Well, Rachel, how's the world been?
Dooley just told me that he was on the show and Joe Christofek called Indiana Downs. He called it Indiana Grand forever. Yeah. And so finally I went to visit him at Churchill. I was like, bro, like, just do me a favor. Can you call it Indiana Grand? Now I finally got him to call it that. And he's still
and
on
you're
the
different.
Show.
Like, horseshoe.
Yeah. And so Dooley finally got him to say it right. But anyway.
That's
maybe
good.
Don't rebrand every 3 weeks. That might be nice. Huh?
Yeah, you know.
Dude, from your lips.
We still, if you look behind me, folks.
That is a wall.
There's no horseshoe Indianapolis anything. So there you go. Yeah, I'm just saying.
We got plenty of horseshoes. I used to have my little like stress horse right thing just hanging out there. So.
I will say there are Derby glasses and then there are Indiana Derby glasses, and those things are fire.
My Indiana Derby glass is my favorite glass I have.
No question.
That is not
a hard fire. Yes.
It is. I drank out of it today, actually, at dinner time.
Have you gotten your dates for this year, Rachel?
Yeah, we do. So April 18th to November. Who knows? It's so long. Who freaking knows? But April 18th is opening day all the way to mid November. Super excited. I, this is not out for publication, but I did ask Eric for sponsorship purposes that Derby is July 8th. So, like, you guys are getting it straight off, like, the press. And it's honestly not, I don't think, it's, like, sort of official. So,
this is not for publication, but Racing Rachel would like to announce it on our show.
You're stuck with Zach. Yeah. Another Saturday. So did you have enough success on that Saturday to run it back on a Saturday?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Louis, look at you with your homework. We are actually going to run Saturdays in, like, the summer months, June, July, and August. So it'll be, like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, break on Friday, and then run on Saturday. Because we really found that there are a lot of people that want to come out, you know, and be there, and we want to help, you know. Obviously, the money is in the simulcast and people who bet on Transpires, but I think that it's going to be good. Sucks for me. I mean, I got Saturdays off usually, but they're my horsemen. I know that they were yeah, kind right. of wanting to run on Saturdays too. It brings in like a retail crowd, which is what we need.
Yep.
We need more owners. We need more fans. So I'm totally all for it. I'm all for it, except for that I'll probably miss some of Ray's sports stuff. But
what's she
it
playing?
Comes with being Ray and Rachel.
I disagree. No, I think that's a good thing for you because kids' sporting events boring. I have four kids. I know it. They're boring.
They literally drive me nuts too because you want – it's softball, by the way, Mike. But
okay.
She literally – when I'm sitting there watching her, I'm like, hit the ball! Hit the ball! Like, I'm like – you know what I mean? And they're so –
the problem with softball, though, is it gets worse before it gets better. So, like, because they'll go – once they go kid pitch for the first time, it's like, oh, geez, it's like watching paint dry until they can throw strikes. And then, you know, it takes them until they're like in the fifth or sixth grade before it gets good again. So,
Oh, yeah.
For sure. My wife played college softball. So,
did she really?
Yeah.
Ray is unfortunately now into like competition cheer. And I was like putting her off as long as I could for like 2 years. I was like, let's try anything with a ball because I'm 5'5, almost 5'8. And my husband's like 6'2 or 3. She's going to be too big to do some of that stuff. But like, I can't.
She's going to ask you gymnastics next.
Yeah, exactly. So I put her in gymnastics, and then she ended up on this competition cheer team. So it's like my nightmare. I'm living nightmare. And I'm like, I don't want to be this girl. This is not my life, but so it is now. Goddamn.
Bottom of the pyramid. That's what you just had a child.
The trick is to get those to get the binoculars that one side's a flask, and that's
yeah.
That's the
and they found out that I'm an MC. They found out what I do. So now guess what I'm doing all Saturday.
Oh jeez. Just tell them you gotta save your voice.
MCing a gymnastics event.
I'm sorry, I have to do handicapping for quarter horse races. I'm sorry, I can't talk at this. That's what you should do.
Yeah, I know. when racing starts, I'm gonna be like, you guys have your chance, it's over now.
All right. So what else do we want to go here? You want to start handicapping a little bit, or what do you want to do?
I do. We should let Rachel go though, because I imagine. Yeah, do you have a LeCompte opinion?
I have absolutely none. Oh, I did look at it for like a second. I literally do not have an opinion at all. I would go with whatever Mike says though.
That's right. Done. Big fudge.
Big fudge. There it is.
That's right.
Big fudge.
All right. Well, don't come back on the show. Thanks for picking the other person. All right.
Yeah. Sorry, Dooley bailed. I'll get him on the show. Don't worry. I'm going to get him to Indiana. And I'm going to set him up with all his.
We still got Risen Star. We've got all kinds of stuff we got to do still. Don't worry about it. All right. She's Racing Rachel. Racing Rachel live on Twitter.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
Preakness Trail is a thing. What the hell is that? What the hell is a Preakness Trail? All right. So.
Mike just denigrates the show that I just did for 40 minutes.
Appreciate you.
Hey, we're trying to be regional. We're trying to reach out to states that are not in the top 10 of our states that handle like, I don't know, top 5 money, like Maryland.
I'm just joking. I like Illman. I like John. They're good guys. So
you're going to go to the Preakness once and you're going to be like, holy crap, what was
I'm going this year, right?
I know. You're going to go and you're going to be like, holy crap, why have I not been before? It's going to happen.
Does our pen get us in the Preakness for free?
No, but don't worry. The show.
Yeah, because we'll get. Yeah, we get credentials.
I got people. We're good. David's a nice.
I wonder where the cutoff for that is, though. Like, it doesn't get you in the Breeders' Cup, obviously, and it probably does get you in any Triple Crown race. Is that it, though? Like, do you think you go with your pin getting the Travers?
Man, that's a good question. No, absolutely not.
Where's the cutoff?
Indiana Derby.
It'll get you in the Indiana Derby. Yeah, of course.
It will. Yes. Ohio Derby. Yes.
Okay, but give me do you think it probably gets you in most grade ones?
No, I disagree.
Oh, come on.
You wouldn't like a place like Churchill that has 180,000 seats, sure. But like a Santa Anita, dude, the Monday after Christmas, they did like
10,000
people. I think that's fair, but like, I think
it's a fascinating question.
I think the pin's nice. I think being reasonable and asking for media credential is.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Or being on the show, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Because let's be honest, the guy at the gate is not like, oh, that's a Turf Raiders pin. Let me use
that's right.
No, I agree.
Right this way, Mr. Gandolfo. That's how it usually is.
get out of the way. I have a pin. Yeah, no, it's not working. No, it's not happening.
I want you to buff my shoes with a fine shammy.
Listen, if Roger Federer can go to Wimbledon on an off day and the security guard is like, who are you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he had to go to the back door to find the right security guard to let him in.
Did you just say that Roger Federer went to the back door?
He knows. No one knows the back door like Roger Federer.
Exactly.
We're spreading rumors like crazy right here. All right.
Dude, I was watching a basketball game one time. It was Northwestern Michigan State, and a buddy of mine, Trevor, who doesn't listen to this show anymore.
Did you alienate him?
No. He has chosen a bad life. And so we, he got married and had kids and whatever. So the, bad life. So he and I are sitting there and we're drunk on a Saturday. It's like 4 PM or whatever. And an announcer literally says, no one knows the back door like Northwestern. And once in a while, it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And I'll just get a text that just says, no one knows the back door like Northwestern, because it was such a spectacular line. I mean, just a beautiful once in a lifetime. Oh, for sure. Just a perfect in basketball thing, but just an out of context, delicious line for sure. So, all right, let's go.
All right. Let's do a little handicap and let's do the thing. Sure. All right. So we're going to be out at the fairgrounds, of course, down in NOLA. And we're going to start it off with the Colonel E.R. Bradley Stakes. Colonel E.R. Bradley, which is a mile and 16th on the turf for 4-year-olds and up, and $100,000 on the stakes on the line here. Louis, who's your turf horse here?
Weird spot here in the ticket in the eighth race. It's kind of in the middle of that late in that middle pick five. 14 race card for the
LeCompte. Huge card,
Saturday, massive card, tons of stakes races all over the place. Price six, talks right? Getting back into.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. And then everything else is a maiden special weight, essentially.
I mean, by the way, this it's about a mile and 16th. It's not exactly a mile and 16th. I love that everything's about.
It's New Orleans. Everyone's a little drunk, so yeah, everything's about. Yeah, yeah. And look, Price Talk's getting back on the turf here. Is the best horse on the turf in this spot. Came up for the Prairie Bayou, ran into In Love and Cellus, ran third by less than a length with Fernando de la Cruz. Comes back. Brad Cox, Florent Giroux. I have bad news. They don't win half their races at Fairgrounds. They only win 43%. Not an accident. That horse is here. Four win here. Coming second off a layoff here, 24%. Synthetic to turf. Recently, very good for Brad Cox. Wasn't good for a long time. Up to 23%. Getting about a month off. In this case, a little bit more than a month. 25%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All those numbers make sense. I think 2 Emmys is way overrated in this race. The horse won at Hawthorne in Chicago against way lesser opponents than this one. I would lean on the 2 here, and I would walk away from this race.
Do you know who Edward R. Bradley was?
Damn it. No.
He was basically a horseman who owned La Truenne.
Oh, look at that. How about that? Yeah, everybody, Drake, you learned something. When you learn something on this show, you have to kill brain cells.
It's about growing. It's just about growing.
We're all getting better here.
All right. We're going to get better. All right. So we're skipping the 9th race, right? So where are we going to next?
11th race.
The 11th, which is the Duncan F. Kinner. $100,000 for 4-year-olds and up. And this is about 5.5 furlongs. it could be a sprint race. Not really sure. It could be,
maybe.
Some other people, it might be a little more challenging. Louis, Manny Wah, gonna just run this thing away or what?
No, avoid Manny Wah. What a ridiculous This horse has not run on the turf, since running at Colonial in an optional claimer, which he lost. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, a 7-year-old horse, we're suddenly going to figure out what's good and what's not. I mean, like, what are we doing? I want to suggest to anyone, Hannibal Burris has a piece about New Orleans.
Oh, about the parade?
Yeah. It's so good.
So good.
If you're going to bet Fairgrounds this weekend, go look up Hannibal Burris's. I think it's called An Ode or a love Letter to New Orleans, something like that. Go check it out. It's as good as it gets. I'm going to other spots. And so there are lots of horses here that are really, really interesting. I think that, for example, you can get like 6-1 on Evan Singh, who's the 4, Al Stahl, Colby Hernandez. those two, like Fairgrounds hanging out, doing the thing, lots of running together, 18%. Al Stahl wins a ton at Fairgrounds. This is where he and his dad really came up in racing. I think that's a really spot, a solid stop. Angus Donald, how do you think you say the number five horse's name
here? You're actually going to ask me. I would say Angus Don.
Angus Don? Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. Bad job naming maybe. This.
Angus Don. Yeah.
Bad job naming this horse. But other than that, you get Mitch Merle, who's like an 11%er kind of thing, hits the board like crazy at Fairgrounds. Small barn in the Wiggins barn here. The two of them don't match up a lot and frankly don't come out a lot. Try to beat that horse as well. So I think
it's a town in Australia. It's a city in Australia is what
okay. Okay. Withdrawn because
I knock you off the like out of, are you good?
I am good. I just had an Abel Tasman moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember my Abel Tasman story?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you talk.
One person listening is going to know my Abel Tasman story, or everyone who read the LA Times newsletter will know my Abel Tasman story. Look, I think this is an all race. I think this is if my pal Maddie, for example, draws in running out of Remington Park, if that horse gets in, jump on that kind of horse, the nine. If you're wondering why it's eight horses and then all else eligibles, it's because they've had to push the rail to 34 feet at the Fairgrounds.
Yeah,
saltwater got into the water that they were using at the Fairgrounds. It killed the interior of that course, and so they took the horses off the turf for a long time in the fall, and then they moved into the exterior of the course. Is the story? Lots of people don't believe that story. I happen to believe that story because the drought is an all-time drought in New Orleans. Marcus Hirsch of the DRF, for example, doesn't believe that story, and so. I appreciate him writing about it from Chicago and not being on the ground there, but it's what they tell us from there. Boldore's in this race. I get Tyler Gaff and I get Steve Asmussen. This is a horse that's 3 for 12 lifetime on the turf, has run over wet go and won twice out of five runs. Huge speed figures in those races. Ran to Oaklawn Park last time out in December, gets a little bit of a break here. Steve Asmussen is actually pretty good in turf sprints at 17%. So I'd look to other horses like this. Those two, of course, hitting together at 23%.
So it could be a little bit of a number that hits here, right?
The reason I gave out a pick three in the sheet is because I don't know what to do with that race. I'll be really, really clear because I think the two favorites are very vulnerable. But if they won, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Because I really don't know. So I'm not even going to give numbers.
Yep. The bigger surprise here, Louis, is that this race has not been canceled by cancel culture. So Duncan Kinner was the
Confederate general.
He was a provisional Congress of the Confederate States. He was the deputy for Louisiana.
Yep, there it is.
And so, but he was also one of the very first people in the United States to actually have a racing stable, to establish a racing stable.
All right.
So just learning all kinds of stuff today. Zach, are you learning anything? You learning stuff?
Zach's pro-Confederacy, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I learned that Mike is also pro-Confederacy.
I'm not pro-Confederacy. I'm just not like pro. Let's like forget history that happened.
No, but to have one of the first racing stables in the United States matters for sure.
Yeah, and Mike, there is no such thing as cancel culture in Louisiana unless you're talking about people with bad gumbo. True. Like people with bad gumbo get canceled there all the
time. Believe it or not.
Cornbread sucks. Get out of here. Yeah, right.
Believe it or not, Papa Joe got shipped away to boarding school for high school in Louisiana. So my dad actually went to high school in Louisiana.
Yeah, he had it coming.
Yeah.
I thought he went to St. X, seventh generation or whatever.
No, that was on the mom's side.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to the Silver Bullet Day Stakes. It is a mile and 70 yards. And
keep going.
No, go ahead.
No, you're fine. Nothing.
What? It's great radio right here. Oh, you know what? This was not on. Oh, no, it was. Okay. It was on here. Three-year-old fillies, $100,000, 20 points. This is your Oaks points race here, just because that, you know, the 70 yards really matters. So what do you have here? Do we have a legit Oaks contender in this race, Louis?
Ooh, good question.
Because Chop Chop, some people think yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, right? And so with Brad Cox, you always trust that he has a three-year-old filly ready to fire, and Chop Chop's that horse in this race with Florent Giroux, 43%, like we mentioned, at the Fairgrounds. Ranner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies didn't work out there. Alcibiades, the nosest of noses at Keeneland, behind Wonder Wheel. I never hold it against horses that don't run well over the dirt course at Keeneland, because actually they use it as a sales ring for horses to walk around. And
what are they going to call the Dan Issel dirt course? Are they going to change it?
I like that.
I think so too.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's go with that.
The Dan Issel sales.
Would you say that Chop Chop was kind of the buzz horse of the Breeders' Cup?
She was the favorite, and she finished 13th. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Joel Rosario, I actually like the change in jockey here. I think Florent's going to give her a different ride, and he knows the course down there. I do think that Chop Chop's a favorite. I like the other Brad Cox here. I included her in the pick three, the four horse. The Alley's Look, broke her maiden, two back at Fairgrounds at this distance, came back and ran in the Untappable at this distance as well with Florent, switching to Luis Saez. I have horrible news. Brad Cox, Florent Giroux, 43% at Fairgrounds. Brad Cox and Luis Saez, 47% their last 15
minutes. Oh, my gosh.
How horrible. So I'm just going to –
Do you know for sure that horse is called the Alley's Look and not the Alice Look? I bet that's that. I bet you it's Alice.
I don't know.
I bet – I've seen the name Alice spelled that way before, and that's why I wonder.
Mm. If you spell – by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you spelled your kid's name with a Y instead of an I to be cute, stop listening to this podcast.
Okay, if you go the opposite and you spell with an I instead of a Y.
I had a student once, her name was Alexis, and the I was a Y. Do you know what I called her in class? Yes, Alexis with a Y. That's what I called her. And then I met her parents, and then her mom was like, I was 19. And I was like, okay, got it. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Well, our boy Deshaun getting way out in this race, too, so I like it.
Darn right. Oh, he's dominating down there, man.
Yeah.
14%? He's doing great. He's
killing it.
For sure. No, he's got 6,000 wins. Of course, Deshaun Parker's doing great. What are we doing? Yeah, yeah. And so, I'm riding the Cox here. 5-4. That's where I'm going in the pick three.
All right, 5-4. There it is. Getting some Oaks points. The Louisiana Stakes presented by Rylean. Here. So, what's that?
This is a good race here.
Yeah, it's a great. It's a great one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh no, it's grade three. Yep. Grade three, sorry. Mile and the 16th. This is no about. This is a mile and the 16th. Like, they're for sure on this one that this is a mile and the 16th. And we got for 4-year-olds and up, $150,000 purse. Louis, you said you like this race. Who is your pick in this one?
Yeah, so I'm going thin again.
Okay.
Happy American coming out of the win in the Tenacious in illicit stakes last time out by open lengths by 2¾. James Grant has been on this horse for many, many runs. 5-year-old gelding, so run happy. I'm hoping we keep that form going. Seems to really like Fairgrounds, has his best speed figure there. Seems to be coming into his own now later in life. Ran in November, ran in December. We'll see what he is as a 5-year-old, but as a 4-year-old, seemed to be figuring it out. Zozos is in this race. And the interesting thing here is I'm giving out the horse with slightly longer odds than Zozos. But this is Brad Cox and Corey Lannery. Bet against at your own risk again. I think this horse is going to get a ton of money because it ran in the Kentucky Derby. And we've talked about this before. If a horse runs in the Derby, people have heard of it and they bet on it. And so that's why I put Happy American above it, because I think at that 4-1, you're actually going to get 9-2, 5-1 kind of numbers. And I think the horse is totally capable, especially at this course. Neil Pessin, we've seen up at Churchill Downs with some of the very best horses. And so it isn't as though he can't train that way. Brad Cox, of course, off to a 45% start. By the way, his other horses, 9 second place finishes of 33 runs. 15 winners, 33 runs, 9 second place horses. So he's peppering the board. So if Zozos wins here, I'd feel silly. So I'm going 5-8 in
Louisiana. But if Frenchie and Brad Cox won with the 7, Forza Dioria, you would be surprised there?
I would be surprised, only because that horse was beaten by open lengths by Happy American.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I'm also leaving out Mr. Wireless, who you and I watched win the Indiana Derby.
But really only performs in Indiana.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But gets to Sean here. He and Brett Calhoun seem to be a good partnership. But yeah, and by the way, the two of them, 30%. If you wanted to spread, this would be the leg that I would spread it.
Gotcha.
Pick 3, 4, 5 horses here. That's what I would do.
All right.
I'm not going to, just for cost of ticket purposes.
The LeCompte, the Grade 3 LeCompte, this is your Derby points race right here. This is the main show. We mentioned it earlier. You got tons of horses in this race that are single digits. I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to see if Instant Coffee can kind of jump up here and solidify as a early Derby favorite, maybe push Forte in that regards a little bit. You know, but this is a deep field, Louis. I mean, right now the only one horse is at 10 to 1, and that's the longest shot on the board is 10 to 1. That's crazy.
No, especially in an 8-horse field. It is for an early 20-point prep as competitive as we've seen in the last couple of years. And that's why when people spread, you single, and I'm going to single here.
Okay.
And I'm going to trust that Instant Coffee is that horse.
Okay.
And I don't think it's an accident when you look at long-term success for Brad Cox overall, not just at Fairgrounds, but overall. He grabs Louis Saez for those top end horses. Are Saez's numbers great at Fairgrounds right now? No, they're not. But we're getting the best horse in this field with Louis Saez, with Brad Cox. I'm going to trust that the 7 Instant Coffee is a single here, because otherwise, honestly, two fills coming into this race, for example, the 8 horse, out of the Ravelli barn with Joe Loveberry. I mean, the two of them, by the way, 154. They're less 154 miles, 23%. Really, really solid numbers. Make sense all around. Last time out in the street sense at Churchill Downs in the slop, a runaway winner. I think was the third favorite, if I'm remembering properly. But that was with Haystrike, and it just not the level of an Instant Coffee who went to the Kentucky Jockey Club and won. If people remember last year, and I will ask you, Mike, do you remember who came out of the Kentucky Jockey Club?
Yes.
Two grade one winners. Their names are White Abario and Giants Causeway.
Yeah.
And they didn't win that race.
Right.
Give me Brad Cox and the winner of that race coming back in the Le Comte. That's all I'll say. If it's anything like last year, if we get a repeat of form at all, Instant Coffee is easily the best horse in this race. I'll take the 7 as a single. And I think people in the sheet, greensheetracing.com, will see really short ticket. $5 base for a pick 3, $20. Very, very playable.
All right. Awesome. And there's your pick. For some reason, I'm drawn to Bromley in this race. I don't know why.
I think that's a reasonable second pick for sure. And there's something about that Candy Ride again, because we've talked about it on the show. Candy Ride, good luck figure out what his progeny. They do everything. They sprint. They're on the grass. They're on the dirt. Whatever. They go two turns. Whatever. Two starts, two wins. Wins at Churchill, over 6.5 furlongs. Goes that sprinting distance at Turfway, picks up that check. Paolo Lobo has been crushing it. Turfway. He goes sprint around at 23%. He's got two horses in this race for a reason. I don't think it's not an accident. He's not shipping horses for no reason. I agree with you. If you're looking for people to pick up the pieces, it's Itzos, the 6, and it's probably the 3. I agree with you. You don't book Gerardo Corrales for the two rides in Kentucky and then Javier Castellano for no reason with Bromley. I'm with you. I think there's something there.
I mean, I guess you're going to have to see if this horse can go that kind of distance. I mean, this is a significant step up in distance and it obviously going two turns. But there's something about Bromley that I'm just drawn to it. So let's see. I'd be interested to see how Bromley.
If I were going longer in this race, if I were trying to figure out another horse, I would go with Confidence Game.
Mm-hmm.
Only because he's in the Desomo barn mm-hmm. with James Graham. You don't think of those two as like whatever, but the two of them, 33% at Fairgrounds. Desomo, I get it, and his brother and whatever, but Keith, like this horse, they stretched him out, didn't love it in the Iroquois, you know, not, you know, finished okay in an optional claimer at Keeneland, comes to Churchill and wins over two turns. So maybe the horse is progressing and learning, a son of Candy Ride. You know, Moms by Bernardini. That's the kind of horse where it makes sense that two turns would be a thing. You know, this is a horse, amazingly, $75,000 breeding, $25,000 purchase. If this horse could jump up, already won $183,000. If he could jump up and win something like Le Comte, it would be pretty remarkable.
There it is. All right. Well, it's good to be back, everybody. Louis, it was great to see you again.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit. I guess I haven't seen you. Have I seen you in 2023 yet? I know I saw you right before, you know, for the UK UofL game on ESPN Radio, but we haven't seen each other.
Nope.
Yeah, because I've been traveling full. I've been out.
Yeah, we get it. You're a big deal. Yeah, we get it. Yep.
So, Zach, good to see you again.
Yep.
Glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're gonna pay the tab. We're gonna get out of here. This has been the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
closing time. Open all the doors.